Good afternoon. This is Ed Waltz with the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, August 28th, 2019. We will begin today's reading on the front page with this article that's under the banner of Piatt County Schools. And the headline reads, County Schools Get Additional Counseling Help. Piatt County Schools now have extra counseling help thanks to a collaborative effort between three school districts, the Piatt County Mental Health Center, Kirby Medical Center, and the DeWitt Piatt Bi-County Health District. Luana Miller, a licensed professional counselor, started working in Bement last Friday and in Monticello and DeLand Weldon this week. We are excited about these partnerships and how it will positively impact students' wellness within our communities, said PCMHC Director Tony Kirkman. In Monticello, Superintendent Vic Zimmerman said Miller will be able to concentrate on non-IEP, that's Individualized Education Program, work that keeps current counselors busy. We kind of see this person as an additional social worker. That's the type of work they would do, said Zimmerman, noting the current school social workers also speak in classrooms and provide individual counseling, but that IEP work is their first task. The new counselor would do some grief counseling, possibly individual counseling, and going into classrooms to talk about situations kids may find themselves in, he added. For 2 years, the program will be provided at no cost to participating school districts. At that point, if they choose to continue, schools would pay 25% of the overall cost in year three, 50% in year four, and so on. Zimmerman said the first cost to Monticello would be about $5,500 for 2021-22. The share would be less in other districts since they will have the extra counselor on site 1 day per week versus 2 days in Monticello schools. The idea was proposed last May, with Kirkman saying the Illinois Youth Survey showed participating organizations the need for additional social workers in schools. He pointed out the survey stated 20% of high school sophomores and seniors who took part in the survey considered suicide. The bottom line to me is 1 in 5 is not acceptable, Kirkman told the Bement School Board on May 8th. I think this idea also stems from the Kirby Community Health Needs Survey, and the number one issue that continues to come out of that survey has been mental health. Not just kids, but adults, and the lack of resources we have, said Monticello School Board President Gary Husingay. This is a great collaboration, he stated at the August 21st school board session. Also on the front page, under the banner of City of Monticello, we have this article headlined, Council Approves Solar Project at MMS. Moving a proposed solar array 740 feet further from neighbors was enough for Monticello aldermen to unanimously approve a conditional use permit for a clean energy project at the town's middle school. The City Council on Monday voted unanimously to approve the 5 acres of ground-based panels for the east lawn of the school's property. It reverses July Council action that voted down the permit request, which came after Ridge Point subdivision neighbors expressed concern about the project. But that proposal would have placed panels as close as 260 feet from the nearby homes, whereas the second try moves them to 1,000 feet away. The effort is not completely greenlit. The school district's energy partner is making sure it is feasible for them to move middle school ball fields to another place on the property in order to accommodate the new solar location. We're still waiting on some detail from Clean Energy Design in regard to the drainage and the baseball field and soccer field, said Monticello School Superintendent Vic Zimmerman. They're still getting a price on that. It still may happen that it's too expensive and not viable for them. The school board will consider an agreement with Clean Energy Design Group to develop the project at its meeting on September 18th. Three neighbors spoke about the project Monday. Dean L. Payne feels that roof-mounted systems and incorporating panels into awnings are a better option. Getting it off the ground takes away the gravel roads, the 5-acre security fence, the security lighting, said Payne. Off the ground returns 5 acres of green space for the school that will no longer be leased to an outside company and its investors for a minimum of 15 years. Others thought there could be danger from a power plant being on the middle school lawn, or even an increase in bee stings due to habitat-friendly ground cover that is planned for the ground underneath the panels. Alderman Jeremy Jones, who works in power grid design and security research, admitted the project would bring high-voltage transformers to the property, but claimed that was not uncommon. Sitting outside of your house, possibly even in your backyard, everybody has a high-voltage transformer, said Jones. So we're not doing anything at the school here that we're not doing everywhere else. There is electricity, he added. If installed, Clean Energy Design Group has estimates the panels will provide about 90% of the middle school's power needs and save the school district about $1.2 million in power supply costs over 25 years. Council members Mike Kuhn and John Frericks said they walked the site to gauge how far the array would be from neighbors. For Kuhn, it helped him change his vote from nay as a zoning board member earlier this summer to yay as a city council member on Monday. Having seen the property, the sight lines are a big concern, but in this project, I don't know that sight lines are going to be an issue for residents on Prairie Lane or anyone else in that subdivision, he said. Alderman also approved a conditional use permit to allow the Piatt County Animal Shelter to construct a new 3,600-square-foot building on land it will purchase at 1203 Raymond Road. The site is located across the street from the city's dog park. Turning now to page A2, we have this article. It's under the banner of Piatt County, and the headline reads, Piatt FS Gets Zoning Nod. Piatt County Zoning Board of Appeals members were amenable last week to a special use request by Piatt County Service Company, that's FS, to move anhydrous ammonia operations from its location within the city of Monticello to a more rural location. The company's general manager, Corey Krause, said the company has been researching ways to move that portion of its business away from as many residences and businesses as possible, due to its potentially volatile nature. We would like to not have anhydrous in town. We've got a 30,000-gallon tank in town on the south end of our property at 427 West Marion in the middle of town, said Krause. It's a liability issue to the city, and we're going to decommission that tank this fall and eventually move out on the new property. The main focus on this is to be good environmental stewards as a company and get this outside of town and to have this property for future growth, he added. PCSC has purchased two 90,000-gallon anhydrous tanks from an owner in Cisco and plans to move them to 40 acres it will soon purchase at 527 East Old Highway Road between Monticello and Cisco. At this point, only the tanks, a garage, and scale will be on the west side of the new property, located between Old Route 47 and Interstate 72. The remainder of the company's operations, including the fuel station, will remain in Monticello. The business has reached an agreement with the current owners of the 90,000-gallon tanks to move them off the Cisco property on September 3rd. They will not move them to their permanent home, however, until after the county board considers the ZBA recommendation to approve the special use permit. Krause said moving the tanks twice will be a large cost, but that we want to follow the rules. Zoning Officer Kerry Nussbaum said a permit is required for fertilizer processing, blending, storage, and sales establishments, grain elevators and grain storage facilities, feeder seed sales establishments, and any other reasonable similar use in A1 zoning. Anhydrous ammonia is used by some farmers as fertilizer to boost nitrogen levels in the soil, which can increase crop yields. The ZBA unanimously voted on August 22nd to recommend approval of the special use permit for the applicant, MMC Farms, which is acting on behalf of Piatt County Service. The county board now has the final say. And this section's under the heading of Questions Posed. Sandy Smith of Cisco questioned why there are currently two differing ways of approving special use permits, running them with the applicant only while they own the land or with the land itself. In the latter case, it could allow special uses to be transferred to two new owners. Smith said that unless designated by the county board, all special uses run with the applicant. I would ask that a discussion of our two-level land usage by be put on next month's agenda, she said. I believe that land usage permits permissions must be equal to all landowners and or land users without ownership, like the solar farms. Smith used the Freedom of Information Act to examine 67 SUPs that have been approved by the county over the last 20 years and said she would be willing to present findings to the ZBA at its September meeting. The Piatt County Zoning Code does state that unless the county board otherwise states with respect to a particular application, special uses do not run with the land and are granted only to the applicant for the stated purpose and with the conditions imposed by the Zoning Board of Appeals and the county board. Our next article is headlined Hospital Official in Hall of Fame. Global professional services firm Huron announced recently that Kirby Medical Center CEO Steve Tenhouse has been inducted into the 2019 Firestarter Hall of Fame. Also inducted were Tom Bowman, CEO of Community Healthcare in Davenport, Iowa, Scott Kentley, CEO of Memorial Health System in Marietta, Ohio, and Mark Leboutier, Director General and CEO of General de Hawkesbury at District in Hawkesbury, Ontario, Canada. Those dedicated individuals are transforming the healthcare industry, said Ritchie. They continue to position their organizations for performance excellence, and we congratulate them on this honor. The honorees were inducted into the Firestarter Hall of Fame at the 17th Annual What's Right in Healthcare Conference, August 13th to 15th in Dallas, Texas. The Firestarter Hall of Fame recognizes leaders that make an impact on their organizations by navigating challenging environments and identifying innovative solutions to thrive now and in the future. More than 60 healthcare leaders have been inducted into the Firestarter Hall of Fame since 2004. Mike Rosh also received the 2019 Quint Studer Division Maker Award, Difference Maker Award. Rosh, a maintenance mechanic from the Pender Community Hospital District, was recognized as a difference maker for his positive impact in ensuring Pender Community Hospital District patients and staff have a clean and safe environment to receive and provide care. Mike exemplifies what it means to be a frontline difference maker, said Debbie Ritchie, president of Huron's Studer Group business. He continues to selflessly prioritize patient and staff needs so the Pender Community Hospital District can provide patients with the best possible care. I congratulate him on this well-deserved recognition. The Quint Studer Difference Maker Award honors individuals that embody the personal and professional values that are making a difference in the healthcare industry. Individuals from across the nation, across the industry, were encouraged to nominate a peer or colleague at any level and in any department of their healthcare organization. Next on page A2 is this article. It's under the banner of Business. The headline reads, New Location for Mindful Beginnings. A holistic wellness center that focuses on healing the whole body has moved to a new location in Monticello. Co-owners Amanda Shepherd and Sarah Reinertsen recently moved their business, Mindful Beginnings, to 112 West Washington Street. I decided to go into business here because Monticello is my hometown, said Shepherd, who graduated from Monticello High School in 1999. Shepherd said her business is organized to provide wellness treatment to the community through a holistic lens. Shepherd attended Adler University in Chicago and has more than 11 years of experience treating a variety of mental health issues. My primary focus has been treating children and adolescents who have experienced severe trauma and been involved in the foster care system, she said. I have extensive experience in treating a multitude of other mental health illnesses, including anxiety, depression, bipolar disorders, post-traumatic stress disorder, and adjustment disorders. Reinertsen is a licensed clinical professional counselor. She specializes in depression, anxiety, and phobias, relationship difficulties, life transitions, difficulties with self-esteem, obsessive-compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, professional and career issues, college and graduate school issues, medical and health concerns, pain management, stress management, attention deficit disorder, sexual abuse, and spirituality. Shepherd said Mindful Beginnings accepts most insurance policies. Our next article for today is on page A3, and it's under the banner of City of Monticello. The headline reads, Indoor Sports Facility, the Goal of Former U of I Baseball Standout. As the City of Monticello tries to figure out how to build outdoor recreation fields on the west edge of town, a former University of Illinois baseball standout wants to take care of indoor training for local athletes with a 27,000-square-foot complex on the east side. The City Planning and Zoning Board approved the first step, recommending a rezoning of 3.23 acres of land that Chris and Samantha Bazak want to annex into Monticello on August 19th. The City Council will consider final approval on September 9th, along with a final plat and annexation. The whole goal with pregame sports is to create an indoor training facility that will provide an environment that encourages the kids to be healthy and active through sports and physical activity, said Chris Bazak, who followed his U of I career by playing professional baseball, which included a handful of games with the New York Yankees. He added the focus will be on complementing existing youth programs in the community. We want to create a space that the local organizations can utilize to run their programs, said Bazak, who now lives in White Heath. Some examples of that would be the Monticello Youth Travel Baseball and Softball, the Monticello Rec Department, Soccer, Monticello School District, and Kids Club Wrestling. If approved, Monticello Gymnastics plans to move from its downtown location into pregame sports, according to City Community Development Director Callie Jo McFarland. We support the project 100%, said Monticello School Superintendent Vic Zimmerman of the business that would be located right next to the middle school. This is the type of community asset that is needed in Monticello. The bottom line is the school is supportive of the zoning change for the privately funded community asset, and we will continue to encourage the city to move forward with other community assets. Zimmerman added his support for the city's continued efforts to develop 30 acres of land into an outdoor recreation complex. Audience member Steve Schreffler also supported the pregame sports proposal, but felt similar private investment was a better option than city-developed parkland. This is the type of development we need in Monticello, as opposed to draining $10 million for a park complex. Everything works better when it's done in the private sector, he told the Planning and Zoning Board. Rezoning of the pregame sports site, which is contingent upon annexation being approved, is needed to accommodate a business there, said McFarland. State statute says that anything that comes into the city limits automatically comes in at the most restrictive zoning. That's urban residential, which is not appropriate for this particular development or any new development, she said. BASAC said the business plans to have an indoor turf surface and nets for batting cages, a party room, and cardio machines for parents who are waiting on their kids to get done with practice and camps. He said it is also in a good location since the middle school is a hub for school bus traffic. PZB board member Amber Gerbel asked if there were plans to include a path between the school and pregame sports. "We're definitely looking at ways to make it easy for them," said BASAC. A parking lot with a capacity for 54 vehicles is also part of the business plan. And now, turning to page A5, under obituaries, we have the following death notices of local and area interest. Connie Wilson Burse went to meet her Lord, Savior, and family at the gates of heaven on Wednesday, August 21, 2019, at home. Celebration of Life services were held at 11 a.m. Monday, August 26, 2019, at the Centerville United Methodist, with Pastor Seth Emerson officiating. Visitation was held for 1 hour prior to the service at the church. Interment was held in Ingram Cemetery. Cremation rites were accorded. Memorial contributions may be made to the Centerville United Methodist Church. Darwin J. Hersey, 91, of Urbana, formerly of Cisco, passed away at 11:25 p.m. August 20, 2019, at University Rehab Center in Urbana. A funeral mass was at 8:30 a.m. Wednesday, September 4, 2019, at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Pasotum. Visitation was held from 10:30 to noon Wednesday, September 4, 2019, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello, and a funeral service followed at noon with Father David Yilali, SJC, officiating both services. Interment was in Croninger Cemetery at Cisco following the funeral service. Memorials may be made to OSF Children's Hospital in Peoria or Canons Regular of St. John Cantius. Condolences may be sent to the family at www.mackey-wrightfuneralhome.com. Charles Edward Mofield, 76, of DeLand, passed away at 4:46 a.m. August 18, 2019, at Carl Hospital in Urbana. A visitation was held from 5 to 7 p.m. Wednesday, August 21, 2019, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home in Monticello. Funeral services were held at 11 a.m. Thursday, August 22, 2019, at the Mackey Wright Funeral Home. Interment was in Goose Creek Township Cemetery, DeLand. Karen S. Norrie, 78, of Monticello, passed away at 4:32 p.m. August 22, 2019, at her residence. A graveside service was at 2 p.m. Thursday, August 29, 2019, at the Monticello Township Cemetery, with Reverend Glenn Corbley officiating. Memorial contributions may be made to the American Cancer Society. And now, returning to the news and views on page A4, we have this article under the banner of Cerro Gordo Schools, and the headline reads, Track Charges Discussed by Board. Cerro Gordo School Board members on August 21st discussed concern raised by cooperative sports partner BMET over a bill for CG track and field costs. Currently, the cooperative agreement between the two districts allots for Cerro Gordo to pay for 2/3 of the costs, including equipment, while BMET foots 1/3 of the costs. Cerro Gordo recently updated their facilities while constructing an addition to the junior and senior high school, as well as multiple renovations. Cerro Gordo argues that the charges are not facility upgrades. Superintendent of Cerro Gordo Schools, Brett Robinson, cited that he did not feel he was charging for permanent fixtures. There is some question as to what constitutes what is calling the co-op agreement defined as materials. So there has been questions posed by BMAN as it relates to some track equipment. I see it as equipment, and they think some of the things that I see as equipment is facilities. So we have some work to do on working together to get on the same page there, which we will do, and we've done in the past, and was able to find a solution, said Robinson. CG Board Secretary Karen Fries asked, can you just address it, though? In one of the articles that I read, it was mentioned that we were asking them to pay for a pole vault equipment. And I don't think that's accurate. I think the equipment associated with pole vaulting, but it was not the physical improvements to the facility. Robinson replied, what I see as things that are fixed permanently to a building or to the grounds is that would be facility, but those items are not permanently fixed. Board Treasurer Debbie Greenwood added, even though their students benefit from it. BMIT School Board members and Superintendent Sheila Greenwood said last week that they felt some charges, including their share of a $16,299 pole vault pit and the aluminum guard for the shot put circle, were permanent fixtures to the track and thus not eligible for reimbursement. I think the bottom line is that the co-ops have been good for students and both communities, added Robinson. Students will do a great job working together as coaches as well. Under construction progress, we have this. There were hopes to get all of the inside construction and renovation work completed by the time school started. However, the auditorium and unit offices still are under construction. Robinson cited the contractor hopes to have the work completed by the end of August. Concern over the chair color was mentioned, and Robinson stated the district is looking into a possible change. In a prior meeting, there was discussion over whether or not to change the outside existing yellow brick on the current 1962 gym and band room building, as some is deteriorating. So we can say, okay, we're going to do the tear off the brick. And these portions, we're going to do a stain or a thin brick in another part. And they'll make another part that we were just not going to do anything with, said Robinson, adding that the added work would probably not start until at least next spring. It's probably something that needs to be done when thawing and freezing kind of things aren't happening, said Robinson. There are a couple of ways to go about this, he added. We could tag it on as a part of our current project, which would kind of essentially be a change order approach. There's also the option of having this be a design and build, which is relatively new and approved. As for the concerns over the new air units above the school, the district worked out a harness system approved by OSHA with architects from BLDD and the contractor, Plocher Construction. During WCIA's Our Town event, the district gave a tour of the facility, citing a majority of the comments as positive. Under the heading of September board meeting moved, we have this. Next month's board meeting will be the fourth Wednesday on September 25th to accommodate budget posting requirements. This gives the public the 30 days to review the budget if so desired. The budget under law has to be available to the public for 30 days after it is approved. And in other action, the district hired Jason Jacobs and Frankie Martin as cross-country coaches. Jason Jacobs as junior high assistant basketball coach, Ashley Spent as BAS assistant, Anthony and Andy Young as custodians, Vicky Gagnon as part-time cook for the junior and senior high schools, and Nancy Pirell as part-time cook for the elementary. They also accepted the resignation of Jason Jacobs as junior high track coach. The second reading of the IASB board policy changes were approved, and they approved Robinson as district administrator for the IMRF account. And they approved Molly Owens as bookkeeper, and Jody Neville and Jeremy Rodebaugh as the school fund activity account custodians. And finally for today, we have these two events coming up about pork chop suppers. The first one is in Cisco. The American Legion will be serving a pork chop supper on Saturday, September 14th, with serving beginning at 5:30 p.m. And the KFC will have a pork chop dinner on September the 21st at St. Philomena Catholic Church in Monticello. Drive-through is available. A free will offering will be collected at that second event. This has been the Piatt County Journal Republican, dated Wednesday, August 28, 2019. I look forward to reading with you again soon. For Illinois Radio Reader, I'm Ed Walsh.